The hardships facing Christians in the Holy Land has been a recurring theme of Pope Benedict's over the past few months. Following a special Christmas message to Christians in the Middle East, the Pope returned to the theme on February the 1st during a meeting here in the Vatican with members of the Joint International Commission for Theological Dialogue between Catholics and the Oriental Orthodox Churches, such as the Syrians, Armenians, and Copts. Noting that many of the representatives of these ancient churches had come from the Middle East, the Pope said the difficult situation which individuals and communities face in the region is a cause of deep concern for us all.
Christian minorities find it difficult to survive in the midst of such a volatile geopolitical panorama and are often tempted to emigrate. In these circumstances, Christians of all traditions and communities in the Middle East are called to be courageous and steadfast in the power of the Spirit of Christ.
The need to show solidarity with the struggling Christian communities in the Holy Land is the reason why a delegation of Catholic bishops from Europe and North America in January spent a week visiting Israel and the Palestinian territories, meeting with government officials, local church leaders, and different Christian communities. I travelled with the bishops to Nazareth, Jerusalem, Bethlehem and Gaza to find out more about the difficulties facing Christian families and the way in which Catholics in the West can support their cause. Amongst those taking part in this delegation for the first time was Irish Bishop John Kirby, in charge of the Catholic Aid and Development Agency, TROCERA. He talked to me about what struck him most and what he plans to do to help.
I'd have to say that the wall has been the security wall, security barrier, has been certainly my strongest impression. On the other hand, the acceptance by many of the people and the sense of joy that they have in the midst of a difficult situation. They live in extreme difficulty. They live under many, many restrictions, the wall being simply one of them. There are many others. The need for permit, the difficulties of travelling, the difficulties about movement around in their own country, even on their own side of the security barrier. These have all been encouraging aspects, but I still have to say that the existence of the wall and some of the stories I heard in association with it are my abiding memory.
The people here, the local church in particular, says the West really must help the Christian community to survive here. We must provide moral and material support to the hardest hit people here. As head of TROCERA, what is your impression? What is your reaction to that appeal?
I think that's a very worthwhile appeal, and I will certainly be doing what I can to give voice to it when I return to Ireland. We came particularly to give support to the very small and diminishing Christian community. We are conscious of the role that they have played in the past. They are a source of stability. They are economically reasonably strong. And socially, they act as a catalyst. They can help bring two communities together. And they themselves are conscious of that. But sadly, they are being diminished considerably by immigration, and large numbers have departed this country in the last 25 or 30 years. I will certainly be doing what I can to alert the people of Ireland, the Catholic people of Ireland, to the situation, and we'll be encouraging prayer. We'll be encouraging renewal of pilgrimage for its own sake, but also for the support of the people here, and I hope we will apply a certain amount of pressure as well.
Ireland, of course, has made huge economic strides over the past few decades, from a relatively poor country to one of the wealthier nations. Do people, Catholics in Ireland today, do you think, really care about the plight of the people here in the Holy Land?
I don't think they are sufficiently aware of that plight. I don't even believe I was myself. This has been very much an awakening process for me. And I am certainly know that many people in Ireland will only have the superficial aspect that comes from the general news media. I would hope that we would make them more aware and more conscious of both the suffering here and of their potential ability to do something, even something small, about it.
Ireland, of course, is also a nation which has itself emerged from a decades-long political and religious conflict. Do you see any lessons from your own past history that can be of use here in this terrible situation in the Middle East?
Yes. One of the words we learnt over the last 10 years was the word, the phrase, confidence-building processes. Things to give hope and support to the opposite side, that their concerns were being taken into account. And I think that that is... initially, I was inclined to think, to be amused by the phrase, but I have now realised that it had meaning and value in Ireland. And I think it could have similar meaning and value here as well.
In terms of confidence building, what do you mean, and does this apply to the church as well?
Well, first of all, in regard to the state, it would mean taking into account some of the issues, some of the hurt, some of the pain experienced by the local people, people who were born and bred and whose families have lived here all their lives, and who find themselves discriminated against in terms of housing, in terms of subsidies available for their schools and their hospitals, in terms of requirements for travel. Easing of some of these would be what I would call a confidence-building gesture, making it easier for people to travel in the land of their birth. That type of thing. And others, now I'm aware that there are security issues for the Israeli state, but at times you have to be brave and courageous and go for the confidence-building rather than the security issue.
During our visit to the Holy Land, we heard from many local church leaders working tirelessly for justice, peace, and dialogue between Israelis and Palestinians. Among them is Archbishop Elias Shakur, head of the Melkite or Greek Catholic Church in Galilee, the largest Christian denomination in the Holy Land. Over 20 years ago, he founded a school for children of all different faiths. Yet despite his efforts, he told me the situation remains difficult for Christians in a country where many promises are made but are not always followed through.
I say the land of promises, where we hope one day justice will prevail and people will respect the diversity that is among all the inhabitants of this country, Jews, Palestinian Arabs, Christians, Muslims, Druze, each one would be able to enjoy his full privacy and give his full cooperation to build a common general future for all of us.
But you're saying that conditions here have not got any better over the time since you've been trying to work together with other church leaders on these issues?
Well, some conditions got better. The basic conditions are still the same. I think there is a need for change of hearts and minds and a courage to look at the non-Jew as a brother and not as an other, and to look as the Jew as he also being our brother. We did not reach that goal yet because of the ongoing difficulties, political problems, because of this horrible war against terrorism and the creation of terror unconsciously by those who want to fight terrorism.
You're talking about one of the keys to the problem of fighting this prejudice. One of the keys is working with children in the schools, and you've got a number of ongoing projects there, haven't you?
Not only with children, the key for the solution is education. Education mainly for children, because we form their attitude, we form their vision, we form their mind while they are still in the elementary school, and we continue in the high school. But education should go also for the adults, very especially for young ladies who are to become the mothers. That means the educators, in this Oriental outfit, not of their own family only, but of their extended family, of their tribe, of their society. A voice of a woman, I think, might be better heard, might better go to the heart than the threats of a man who has power, might, and very often who has so much arrogance and not enough modesty.
How are you working, though, to put this into practice in very concrete ways?
Well, it's first through education, then through preaching, through influencing my clergy to have one voice in different ways, to speak for the Christian values, and not to diminish or to compare our values with Jewish values, saying these are best or these are better. No, there is so many common factors in all the three monotheistic religions. All depends what do we underline, the differences, and they'll become bigger, or the common values, and they become more powerful. And we opted to underline what is common between us all.
And yet there are divisions, though, even among the Christians here in the Holy Land, aren't there serious divisions still? How are you hoping and working to overcome these?
Serious divisions, no. I think among my large community, the largest Christian community, and the Roman Catholic community, the Maronite community, and other Catholic communities, we have no divisions. We have differences, but beyond our personal problems, we manifest one unity, one body, when we are with our Latin brothers, with our Maronite brothers, and we are one body who has different members. And it's normal that we have problems. It's not normal that we be not aware of the problems. But to have problems, it's exciting. We have something to do to improve.
Finally, what is your message here to the leaders of the churches represented here in Europe and the United States?
Well, it's a twofold message. First, let your solidarity be concrete and incarnated in the daily life. Then please go back and tell your people that Palestinians are also Christians. And they need the friendship, the respect of other Christians from Europe and America who come here, and they should not come to visit the shrines, the sand and stones. They should come and encourage the living stones to remain, to stay in the Holy Land.
Archbishop Elias Shakur, head of the Melkite or Greek Catholic Church in Galilee. And earlier you heard Bishop John Kirby, chairman of the Irish aid agency Trocara.